Good morning, everyone. I welcome you here into our morning worship service. And we're just going to go into a word of prayer and ask God to do what he does for us as we begin our service. Dear Heavenly Father, it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I come, Lord God, giving thanks to you for another day. God, a day that we haven't seen, God. We just thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for being the head of our lives, Lord God. We thank you for being the end of our lives, Lord God. We thank you for everything in between, God. We know that everything happens according to your will, Lord God. So we accept it, Lord God. So right now with expectations, God, we come into your morning worship service, Lord God. We invite you into this place, Lord God. God, we invite you into our holy temples, Lord God. God, we ask that you would just bless this service, bless everyone in it, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless every church that's open in your name, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless the men of God that's going to stand and declare your word, Lord God. God, we pray a special blessing up on our church, Lord God. God, we ask that you would continue to hold us together, Lord God, and give us a word, Lord, for what we need in this time, Lord God, of this era, Lord God. God, we pray for our members, Lord God, from the least, Lord God, to the youngest, Lord God. God, we ask that you would pray a special blessing up on our pastor and his wife and his family, Lord God. God, we ask that you would just continue to crown them with wisdom, Lord God, and be everything that they need, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless finances, Lord God. God, we touch and agree with you, Lord God, this morning that as you do that you've told us that you would do, Lord God, that we would follow all your commandments to reap of those benefits, Lord God. God, we just ask you just to come into this building, Lord God. Come into this sanctuary, Lord God. God, we're in expectation for your word this morning. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I ask all these blessings in thy son Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be coming from Psalms this morning, and I had originally looked at Psalms, but I just couldn't really find what I wanted in Psalms, and Pastor Hurth asked me to read Psalms 139. But I was, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, I was in Psalms, and it resonated with me that everything in life happens in Psalms. You know, you can see the valley of man, and you can see the mountaintop of man. You know, David went in the valley, but he also reached the mountaintop. So within Psalms, anything that we go through in life, we can see where man called out to God in desperation, and God came. And even in Psalms, you can hear the praises of the Lord. You can hear that God meets every needs in there, and he tells us to fret not. He also tells us in there to not be afraid. We see in there that he says that he's our shepherd, you know, that nothing that's going to be able to come against us and form any weapon would prosper. So, you know, so when I think of the idea of Psalms, I can think of it. It can be my valley prayer. It can be my mountaintop prayer. It can be anything in between. You know, we're thankful and it can find you in any space of life that you need to. You can go to Psalms and pull out something that God is going to show you himself. And he's going to show you himself to be strong and mighty. You know, I don't think of anything. I say this often, you know, wherever I am, I'm content in the Lord because it's his purpose. It's for his purpose. We live not our lives for ourselves, but we should be living it according to that we can touch somebody else. The will that I have should align up with the will of God. And I also think about the idea that God is such a good God that he doesn't allow us to even be overtaken with our own selves. He protects us from me. You know, you ever think about, you know, I'm my own worst enemy at times because I don't listen. So I thank God for protecting me from me because I'm a very strong-willed person. And I don't know, you know, sometimes you have to say thank you, Lord, because that's not the direction that I wanted to go. But you showed a different direction, and it was the best direction. So anyway, I'm going to be reading from Psalms 139. And it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, that thou it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine up hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I feed from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell up in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thou hand lead me, and thou hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. You know, I didn't know that that was in there before I told y'all what I had to say, because I didn't choose the scripture, the pastor did. But God is so aligning. He aligns us with everything that we're going to do. And, you know, he confirms things. And that was just a confirmation of what I had already said without even reading the scripture, that who God is and what he can do. And you've seen the valley, the presence of the valley experience, and you've seen him go to the mountaintop. But he said, there's no place that I can go that God is not there. I can't hide from him, you know, that he's not there. And so I say to you this morning, whatever it is that you need from God, you have to know that he's there. You know, even in the pressing, when you think of the woman that had the issue of blood, her faith made her whole, but she had to be persistent in getting to who she needed and what she needed. So if you're in the pressing business this morning, you're doing right. If you're pressing after God and you're following after God and you're desiring those things that are of God, you're in the right place. Because as long as you're content just where you are and not moving, you're stagnant. And anything that is stagnant begins to have a stench. So we have to know that in God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing that we go through or won't go through that God won't show himself present. We have to be able to invite him in. And so this morning, I tell you to invite God into every situation, to every problem, whether it be you in the valley or you on the mountaintop. Remember that God is God and he's available. That's the thing. He's available. There's a lot of people that are not available to you, but you can't get to. But there is no place that you are that God is not available. And when you have that availability to be able to just reach for him and to touch him and to call on him, that is a privilege within itself. To be able to have a God that's everywhere, that he's omnipresent, to be with us. And I just thank God that he has us there and he covers us in that type of anointing. And I'm going to bring Pastor Hearth up, you know, and expectation, you guys. You got to expect something and want something from God to be able to receive something from God. And he's available. So as Pastor Hearth come and he's going to bring us the word, bring us Bible study, however he comes, just know that God is there. Amen.
Amen. Bless God this morning. Amen. Right down to the wire and just in time. Amen. So it's good morning, everyone. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Amen. Tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for your freedom this morning that is given in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice as we are and be glad in it. My God, my statement, let me welcome those that are online with us. Good morning, and we welcome you. My voice is a little congested. Eyes are puffy. What do you guys call that? Allergies? Y'all can have all of that anyway. I just got puffy eyes and a scratchy voice. We welcome you here with us, as we're so grateful that you come to be with us each morning. Those that are here in person as well, I welcome those that are here with us each week online. Thank you for being a part of this church family. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for finding time to be here with us through the various media paths to get here. Amen. Also, thank you for sharing something that is wonderful, because out of all of the bad things that's going on around us, there is a good news, people. And that good news is that God has given his son Jesus as our Savior. And for that, today we have been given this privilege to be here in this place. I was saying to my wife as we were driving down 55, but God have given us the beauty to live in a good country. Space, trees, watch out for deer and armadillos and possum and every other critter, right? And I said, you know, spring really has to fight hard, because it's always torn between the bitterness of winter and the harshness of summer. And somewhere in between, it tries to find its place. We don't get a lot of really, really spring weather. It's either too cold to be spring or too hot to be spring. But spring is the hardest working season. And I asked her, I say, why? And she gave me the answer that I was looking for. She says, because it's trying to bring everything to life. Because spring is a time that everything is being brought to life. And actually, it's reviving the dead. So, wow. Things that have gone dormant, is being revived. Everything that gave up during the bitterness of winter is coming back to life again. Spring has to work hard. You know, winter just, like, it just does it. It just come and it is what it is. Summer, you know, it blazes, but spring really has to work hard. Think about that in the seasons of your life. When you're trying to get recovery from whatever it is, whatever extreme, whenever you're trying to find recovery, it's a little difficult, isn't it? And you have to really work hard. How many of us here this morning are trying to recover from something? Something. Even the aches and pains of last night. The aches and pains of life. The residuals of some really hard times in your life. And you're still trying to find recovery. You're still trying to find that place. Amen. So it's like almost like you're in spring more often than you really think that you are. So what I encourage you to do, as I'm getting ready to bring this word this morning, is be excited, because something is going to be birthed. Something is going to come afresh and new. No matter how much it look like it's over, something is about to come. And I think we should just give God a hand clap of praise, God, because something is coming forth. Amen. Something is coming forth. Well, the series continues. It's not going to be over, y'all. It's not over. I'm determined. This is not going to be over. Every time I think I've reached the end of this, something else comes. And I am enjoying it so much, because for the last 3 months, I have just had a growth spurt, a spiritual growth spurt. I have grown so much because I've found so many things about myself that I thought was really just reaching perfection to seeing that, man, there's a lot of work to be done. Amen. This many years. And listen, people, when the instructor, when the teacher starts to find that he has to do a lot of growing, you can only imagine that that has to be good for you. Amen. Because this is where rubber meets the highway. This is where basically confirmation to the things that you already know. Because I'm not giving you things that are new. You know this. You've read it. You've studied it. You've heard it over the years. It's been preached to you. You've sat in classrooms and you've learned this. But here comes the confirmation now, because what happens is I'm going to say things that you already know. And it's going to cause you to start being enlightened by the things that you already know. Tracy said this morning, she says, she turns and as she's given instructions to give the scripture and prayer this morning, she says, okay, well, give me a scripture. And I said, Psalms 139. She don't know that was easy for me, because that's where I'm going to be working this morning. So, yeah. And then, but she gave some commentary before she even read the verse, the scripture. And she said, oh, wow, I didn't know that was going to be there. But it confirms some things that she already knows. She's speaking on things that she's going to later read. Amen. It's already there. So, you know, it's there. It comes together. I hope that you have felt over this series the architecture of man. I hope that you have discovered self in the way that God designed, as read, that you are fearfully, and the wonders of your creation. Everything about you, you're trying to find purpose. Here it is. Everything about you is purposeful. God designs you so that everything that comes forth from you is a continuation in the product by which he created you. Oh, my God, that's important. He didn't make you just to exist. He didn't make you for you to just try to make all of the money in the world. He didn't make you for you to be something that is destitute and dogged out and otherwise disillusioned from what's actually going on. But he created you, and you're just full of purpose. Amen. You have to really just be in touch with the idea, God, you're doing something through me every day. My thoughts. So what I want to do is I want to align myself with you in my creation to know about the wonders of my creation. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Now, you feel good about yourself. You don't have to feel over good about yourself, but do feel good about yourself. Amen. And that's a good place to be. So today, I want to zero in, as I had asked you to read last week, from the book of Genesis and also the book of Job. Amen. And I wanted you to, so that you could come in here today and we would all be on the same page. I wanted you to get some things there so that you would really be, we could just be in tune today about this. Y'all did read that. I know you did. So, yeah. Yeah, y'all read about Joseph's brothers, yeah, and how they conspired to work against Joseph. If you didn't read it, you already knew it, but I know you read it, but you already knew that Joseph had these brothers. Can I use the word jealous? Is that all right? That'll be a good one. And they became jealous of Joseph because of his spiritual endowment. Joseph was a dreamer, right? I can tell you a lot about yourself. You have on a red jacket, you have on an orange shirt, and you have some beautiful glasses, and your hair looks marvelous, but you know, I can't really tell what you're thinking. I really don't know what's on your mind. And body language, it lies. Sometime, all the time. Somewhere in the middle, body language just don't, it don't come out right. There are some folk in here smiling that got some stuff they need really want to frown about. There are some people in here who are frowning who really have some things they should be smiling about. Just because you have your arms folded, that doesn't mean that you're closing me out. But it's cold. And you just want to stay warm right there. You're comfortable, man. And it doesn't always come out that way. So I think now what I really want to do is I want us to be advantaged by knowing that while we have really good qualities and we have some real godly characteristics about ourselves, our intent is good. Motives, we have them, but they're good. We are humble with the grace of humility, and we love people, and we are forgiving. Do you feel that about yourself? You should. I have all of those qualities. And the people that I hang with, that I really spend time with, I pick and choose because I want the people that I spend a lot of time with to have those same qualities. They don't have to agree with me, but I really want them to have those same qualities. I said I'm a forgiving person, so I don't want to spend a lot of time with people who are just never forgiving. I want to align myself with people who have some of the same qualities. Their moral compass is kind of set. We're pointing in the same direction. Ideally. But did you know that there are times that with all of your wonderful qualities, that when you connect up with someone else that have those same qualities, when you come together, it gets like not good. Amen. Maybe you don't have to agree yet. But when you see me, you're cordial to me, you speak to me. But I find it strange that sometimes when I see you with some other specific person, you're not as cordial. You're not as excited even about seeing me. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to figure out, do you know me, right? Because like right now, every time you're together with that person who's really a really godly person, and you are too, but when you guys get together, I get a different, can I use the word vibe? I get a totally different vibe. Now, I want to check myself because maybe I'm in my feelings. But I do know when you just walked in here and you didn't speak. But at other times, I had to watch my language because I try to reach all ages. You all in my grill, you all up in here, But, things change. Now, what I want to talk about today, and here's the subject, is I want to talk about unofficial alliances. Unofficial alliances. I almost wanted to say ungodly alliances, but I thought that was pretty strong. I'm just going to serve a notice or a warning this morning that's not authorized. You're getting or having an acquaintance that causes you to act out of your godly characteristics is unauthorized. And it's very unofficial. All right? Now, I have to watch this because sometimes people think, you know, that he's picking. Yeah, I'm doing that too. But I'm talking about myself. I want to check myself to make sure that each time that I see you, that I'm consistent. I don't want you to say, wow, he really act different today. And then you soon discover that it's the result of me kind of being like Joseph's brothers. And that is, individually, I see you as my baby brother, and I embrace you. But then when I get with the other siblings, did I just say siblings? That don't happen in family. I'm just talking about friends. This happens in families too. Does it? Okay. I didn't say that. But there are family members that, y'all been to family reunions. And you can get some different energy going on depending on who just pulled up. Okay. That's what happened with Joseph's brothers. It was like the eldest brother, he was very protective because older siblings are naturally overprotective. They think they're the mama, the daddy, the oldest ones. And he was, as a matter of fact, while they said, let's kill him, he said, no, let's just rough him up. He was trying to be protective. He was trying to get in with other siblings, but at the same time, he was still trying to protect his baby brother. You see what I'm saying? That energy there. Y'all read this, though, and you know this. And you got all of these things going on between the siblings where it looks like what you guys need to do is just disperse. Because what you all are coming up with is unofficial and it's unauthorized. Number one, you did not gift Joseph with the gift of being a dreamer. Okay? He does not have to answer to you and get permission from you to dream. Right? Just like, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what's going through your mind. But you don't have to ask me, is it okay that you think? Okay? I don't have to do that. So Joseph being a dreamer is him exercising being fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, if God is the author of his dreams, and he comes and he tells you what his dreams are, and you don't like it. Okay? I didn't ask to dream this, but I didn't have to get your permission to dream it. But when I come and I tell you the content of my dreams, and I'm on top, and you're not on top, did I say you on the bottom? I say I'm on top, but you're not on top, all right? You can't get upset at me because that's what the dream said. I'm just giving you the dream, but you don't like the content. Now, y'all start discussing. You know, every time we come down here, mama don't cook. But let one of them boys come down here, and she make Thanksgiving on just any day. Huh? Now, you got to have a cohort to have that kind of discussion with, because you don't say this out loud by yourself. But as soon as the two of y'all get together, y'all discuss what mama does. Y'all act like I'm talking about somebody in this room. You know, my mother-in-law, it take one of the boys to come home for her to just. But the girls can come down there every weekend and it'd be like, what y'all want, some Popeye's chicken? Y'all want to go down to the barbecue place?
Right.
Huh? have heard those two get together and they take it out on both the brothers and the mama. Right? So, y'all kind of see where I'm going with this. So much for Job and his brothers. The really ones I want to zero in is what I call them faulty friends, and that's Job's friends. Because they're not family, they're not brothers and siblings, but they are what we call, and we got so many of them, that's why I want to choose Job over Joseph, is because it's not Job's brothers, it's Job's friends. And we use that word like, we use it like friends. And they have created what is called an unofficial alliance. The book of Job kind of demands, and that's what I want you to open because that's where we are, if you got that ready. It demands that we see ourselves in the faces of Job's friends. Their names are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. That's his friends' names. The book of Job opens with saying that Job is a righteous and upright man. These are the words of God concerning Job's character. He fears God and he tolerates no ungodliness or evil. Your word in the Old Testament is, in the King James, is shuns. He fears God. He shuns evil. Who said that about Job? God did. God did not have to get your permission to have that to say about Job. Right? That's God's prerogative. He created Job. He's the one who graces Job with all of these great qualities. That's how we open. I just wanted to make sure that that's understood from the beginning. Upright, and then he uses this word, righteous man. But I've been told ever since I've been coming to church, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I can't argue with Job, with God, that Job is not righteous because God called him righteous. What I need to do is understand, where is it? Because the scripture is not going to contradict itself. There's none righteous, no, not one. Do I go back and say, does that include Job? God calls Job righteous. Upright. Right? Because God is not looking at Job through our eyes when he calls him righteous. He's calling Job righteous based on something that we cannot see. My God. His communication with Job is not through Job's body, but through his spirit and through his soul. And he deems that this is a righteous man. Stay with me. It gets better. God declares the same thing about you. I'm going to say it one more time. He declares the same thing about you. And there is nothing that anyone else can say, not even yourself, when God declares this over you. What I want us to do is, in order to be helped, really, and for this to be most beneficial, is just become not one, but all of Job's friends for this lecture. Become his friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. All of them. See the potential that they have. See that also in yourself. Because we like Job's friends. This is what I've discovered. While we know right from wrong, amen,
We have some knowledge of God's ways. Amen. And we use the knowledge that we have about God's ways, watch this, to analyze and judge others based on our knowledge. That's wrong. Fix your mouth to say this. That's not of God. How that feel to you? You actually can determine something is not of God. Boy, you got you go to the front of the class, you bright star. Huh? The key point to today's lecture is this. I'm going to change the pronoun from we to I. I do not know, Don, all of God's ways as they apply in all times and places. Amen. Now it's up to you to say that, because I don't know the extent of your knowledge. I do not know all of God's ways as they apply in all times and places. Yes, I can identify the ways of God, but I do not know all of the ways of God in all times and in all places. Amen. Again. Huh? I don't know it. But I'm going to go back and say again, we're like Job's friends. We know right from wrong, and we have some knowledge of God's ways, and we'll use this knowledge to analyze and judge others based on our knowledge. Amen. Look at Psalms 139. I want you to zero in. Hear what the psalmist says, beginning at verse number 1. You have searched me. You have searched me, Lord. You have searched me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Next verse. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Now he goes into detail. Verse number 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. It gets even more detailed. Verse number 5. You hem me in behind and before. My Alpha and my Omega, before the knowledge of my existence, before the report of a pregnancy, my existence was already in you. Beyond the grave, and after the final thought has been thought of my existence ever being in man, there you are. And you lay your hand upon me. Number 6. I need all of us to say this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. What did you just say? Lord, I don't know all of this. Even though it's about me, my knowledge is still limited. So much so that I don't even know myself, not the way you know me. It's too lofty for me to attain. Now, here comes the question. Verse number 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, and some people like to say hell, you are there. That's why I concluded hell's not big enough. Huh? It's not the people that are powerful enough to dispatch you to hell. What's powerful is the one that can take you down through there and bring you out again. A lot of people in your life have put you through hell. There are not many of them that can put you down through there and bring you out again. Huh? God, I've experienced some ups and I've had some downs, but through it all, you who are omnipotent, omniscient, immutable, you brought me through all of this. God's ways, listen to me, God's ways are a mystery beyond our understanding. Will you agree with me? God, your ways are a mystery and they are beyond my understanding. Is that a true statement? Now, here's a question that I want you to ask yourself, and I want you to consider this about yourself. Is it possible that this is about yourself. Is it possible that we're guilty of ignorant judgments against our family and our friends and others? Is it possible that we're guilty of what? Ignorant judgments. Ignorant is what? Without knowledge. Is it possible that I am passing judgments on my family, my friends, and others based on a knowledge that I don't even possess? Is that possible? Do you think that we're guilty of it? Huh? You don't have to be afraid. It's not a test. But it is a good place to be helped out of some things. I'm going to digress here for a moment. Maybe you'd be one less Tylenol if you would just stop trying to fix everybody else. I'm telling you, I have you eating a whole bottle. I'm just as sure as I get up, I'm going to probably do something to get on your nerves. Right, sis? There are some people I think they work for some of these pharmaceutical companies. You work my last nerve. Is it possible that you're spending too much time based on some knowledge that you don't even possess, analyzing and judging family and friends and others? Huh? Somebody, case in point, somebody post something on Facebook. Now you finna lose a whole week trying to figure out why they said that. Huh? What? I mean, can't you just say something? Can't you just say something? And now you've lost it because you're just trying to find why. Job's friends are not able to handle it. They cannot process thought concerning the mystery of Job's suffering. Let's declare this. Job is suffering. And they can't figure it out. Who made Job their assignment to figure out why he's going through? Oh, I got it. That's what friends do. We figure out why what's happening to you is happening to you. And then we have to get with our associates and our emissaries and our other constituents to get together to discuss you. Huh? You know, Eddie, I was thinking, man. Tracy really been going through. What you think? Huh? Well, you know, I did kind of notice. Oh, and from there, it just goes down here. Huh? They cannot handle, though they try to process, thought concerning the mystery. The mystery, did I say mystery? Yes, the mystery of Job's suffering. Job's suffering is a mystery. Can I get one to agree? So what do? They jump to conclusions about the source of his suffering. Because we know he ain't suffering for nothing. And we're going to figure it out. Huh? Yeah. Now, people here, you have to look at this and you have to say, wow, well, at least, even though they kind of talk, they did go to Job. And people would tell you, you got something to say about me, come to me. You ain't ready because what people process in their thought based on their knowledge about you, you ain't ready. Because we, us, in here, church folk, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost folk, will come to you with some stuff, and this is how you start off. Really? Because they will start, you know, if they do take the nerve to come to you and say, look, I need to really talk to you about something. And they're about to deal with the mystery of your, and you know, this goes, let me make sure, this goes from one standpoint to the other. Not only suffering, but also in blessings. They will analyze why you got what you have. Amen. They will start counting your money. They will consider where you work. And they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I know they ain't making top-notch pay. Am I preaching or picking or doing a little both? They've been there a long time. And they start counting your money. And they will go down through your budget. And they will say what you can't afford and what you can't afford. Now comes the analysis. You got to be doing something. Thus, now what you didn't know is that you got a sugar daddy or a boo. Because there ain't no way, not with what you make, you getting something from somewhere. Yeah, man. So it doesn't also deal with just suffering. It has also to do with blessings that we just can't handle the thought process concerning the mystery of suffering or blessings. It don't have to be the friends and the family that we accuse and others, but then how about us to do that to our own selves? Huh? Ask me what I'm talking about. Sometimes we can be our own selves' worst enemy. I probably need another microphone because I think I'm dead. Is that it? And they're going to give me another mic because online viewers can't hear anything I'm saying. We do it to ourselves. Somebody say how. Have you ever said this to yourself? What have I done to deserve this? Or maybe you may have said it like this: I don't understand why I'm going through this. Come on, just by a show of hands, have you ever did that to your own self? And I don't deserve this. Why am I going through this? What have I done? Turn me down just a little bit on this mic. I want you to address some things. All of your failures are not the direct result of your own shortcomings. What did I just say? Of my own shortcomings. What am I saying? And also, all blessings are not the result of godly alignment. Many things are the result of circumstances outside of your control. It's not what you did. It's not what you didn't do. It has to do with the part of the whole plan. It's bigger than you. Notice how the psalmist said, "You, Lord, how you did this and how you did that and how you did this." How do we know whether we are following God's way all of the time? Answer that question. How do I know that I'm following your way all of the time, God? How could we or anyone genuinely know whether our success and our failures are due to our own actions or whether they're due to some factors that are beyond our control? When I really look at where God brought me to, I know that he did not do it because of me. Everything that you see Don with, it's because of who God is. He didn't do it because of me. He did it because of who he is. Huh? How many here today are willing, as we just really just get in the meat of this and get ready to try to find our way to just take off from this today, we'll conclude that God, everything that others see about me that are just wonderful and unbelievable, it has absolutely nothing to do with what I did to make it happen, but it's all because of who you are and the glory that you want and that you deserve from me. Huh? You know, that's just a good person. And everybody agree, that's just a good person. And they come and they tell you that you're a good person, but you conclude that, listen, there is none good but the Father. Anything that you see come from me, any kind words that are spoken, how many will agree with me today that if it come out of my mouth, that was birthed by the Holy Spirit? Huh? It's from God. How could an outsider judge the rightness of our actions without knowing the intimate details of our situation? How are you going to let someone else judge you when they really don't even know, when I say it, the intimate details of our situation? They don't really know what's going on with Job. Huh? How can we even judge ourselves given the limits of our own knowledge? How can I say myself, Don, you are nothing but a failure? How can I say that about my own self? Job's friends, all of them succumb to the temptation, thinking that God has given them an assignment to analyze the reason behind Job's suffering. They think that they are doing a job, a God job. Amen. By going in and analyzing Job, we doing God a favor. We're going to go back and tell God why Job is suffering. Oh, no. Better yet, it's our job to let Job know this ain't happening for nothing. Bro, you did something. Huh? I think that many times we find it hard to remain present without trying to give some answers about others. I hope I'm helping you. We feel like it's our obligation to tell people why something is going wrong. We feel like God is understaffed in angels, that he don't want to minister to them. We feel like it's us. I need to go and let them know this is why this is happening to you. I know why this is happening to you. I hope I'm helping this morning. And I think many times we just find it hard. Like, we just can't keep, we have to put our part in. We got to say. I think that many times we do this, and even though we have no idea what we're talking about, somebody say amen. We'll come out with words like this. It's all for the best. How do you know? It's a part of God's plan. How do you know? God never sends people through more adversities than they can handle. How do you know? We are foolish to think that we know the reason for everyone else's suffering. We don't know why they're being blessed. We don't even know the reason for our own sufferings. It would be more truthful and much more helpful if we just started saying things like this when we see others. If we just go ahead and admit, I don't know why this is happening to you. Do you know it's okay to say that? Try it. Let it come off your mouth. Go ahead. Test yourself. See, you can say it. I don't know why this is happening to you. Try it. I don't know why this is happening to you. We practice the other way every day. Oh, my stomach is hurting. Told you not to eat that. How do you know? Oh, I got something wrong. They'll tell you in a minute what's wrong with you. How many of y'all live with physicians that has... And then they'll go to their matriculation, all of their books, Google it. How many graduates of Google University? Google. But when Google says it, how many right now are self-diagnosed from Google? Y'all do know that Google gonna give you the worst case scenario. You know, there ain't no way out with Google. Death is imminent. Google it, you're gonna die. I'm telling you before you even Google it. Google gives death sentences. When has Google ever told you, you're gonna live though? I'd rather look at one of those pharmaceutical commercials that give me the side effects than to Google it. They give you a list of stuff, but Google, I mean, they do let you know that you might slide down through there. Google, you dead. Why don't we just admit, I don't know why this is happening to me. And then you can also say, no one should have to go through this. Do you know that's safe to say about yourself? You know, I shouldn't have to go through this. If we can do this and then remain present, then we may become, if we just be persistent with doing that, then we can become an agent of God's compassion that says, you know what, through this all, God loves me. And you know, it's okay to say that about other people too. Even though we have our own little preconceived thoughts about it, do you know it's okay to just go ahead and say, you know what, God loves you. Yeah, I don't know why you're going through, but you know what? God loves you. Do y'all know that's okay? You don't have to analyze. You don't have to get together and click together. I'm going to go back to them brothers to get that meal. Next time that happened, you lift them up. You know what? Mama love y'all. Is that hard to do? It is. You can't just tell them mama love y'all. Say it. Tell them. That's my wife back there, y'all. Now I can't hear it. And she's being perfectly honest, too. She's really being perfectly honest. But I want her to just start practicing. Just practice. Mama love y'all. Let me look a couple of verses. Look in Job right quick with me, then we're going to close. The first three of Job's friends is Eliphaz. Y'all look at Job chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I just want you to see some things. He acknowledges that Job has been a source of strength to others. What does he say in verse 3 and 4? He says this about them. He says, think how you've instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Now that's Eliphaz. See, the dude, come on, y'all, he got some good, that's good. Notice how he says that about Job? He says, man, you've helped people. But then, go down to verses 7 and 8. That same tongue from that same person. This is what he has to say to Job, 7 and 8, verse 7 and 8. He says, consider now, who, being innocent, has ever perished? Okay? I think the word is syllogism. He takes all that he knows and look at Job, and what he says in verse number 7 is, people who perish don't die for nothing. That means they're not innocent. So Job, you ain't innocent, you guilty. And that's why you dying. Where were the upright ever destroyed? You ever seen anybody that didn't do nothing die? Yeah. But he now measures his guilt. Job, you didn't do a little stuff. You did a whole lot. Now compare verses 3 and 4 to 7 and 8. What did I ask you to do? Put yourself and make yourself Eliphaz now and know that this is how you communicate. You look good today. Why are you laughing? Huh? And then I come right, turn right back around and say, you know, boy, you'd be almost perfect if, See what I'm saying? And then people go this way. You know, Regina just don't compliment you. Oh, yeah. I think Regina brings you down. Huh? Oh, yeah. There are people that will, you got to watch. This is how they'll come at you. I think that you would be better. You know, you're a great guy, but I think, boy, if you weren't with Regina, I think you could just go on to the top. If you weren't with Eddie, you could go on to the top. Huh? Oh, yeah. That's what he does. All right, let's go to that next friend. We might finish here. I just wanted to get some scriptures. Bildad is the next one. Job 8 and 20. He says much of the same thing. But these jokers get together. They want to take him apart piece by piece. Job 8 and 20. This is what Bildad says. Surely God does not reject one who is blameless or strengthen the hands of evildoers. There it is again. But look at his conclusions. Are y'all reading this the way it's supposed to be read? Surely God does not reject one who is blameless. Job, you are not blameless. Job, you are being rejected by God. God is not strengthening your hand. And then Job 11, 14 and 15. All of these are like syllogisms. If you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent. I want you to put yourself and see that sometimes, just like Bildad, this is the kind of stuff that comes from your mouth about family, friends, and others. And this is an unofficial alliance, be it with yourself or with someone else, to get together. Do y'all know what cursing is? Huh? Y'all say cuss. But, you know, swearing, bad words. Huh? When you draw a conclusion about someone based on your knowledge, don't get profanity and cursing mixed up. Because you can have a mouthful of what you call bad words, and you good, but you can speak one sentence drawing a conclusion about someone who you didn't create, and you're heaping coals of ungodliness on yourself. Because with that judgment that you use to judge, that same judgment is going to be used against you. Huh? Somebody asked me why. Because at the end of this story, God says, I'm killing all of them. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. You know why I'm taking them out? It's because the judgment that they passed on you, I found them guilty of it all. Now, what did God say about Job from the very beginning, at the very beginning? Righteous and upright. He tells Job, Job, if you pray for these that have gotten in this unofficial alliance, I'll turn their calamity. I think that's just a good place to close, because I could go on through this, but I know you read it. How many of us are willing now to say a prayer for all of those that have had this kind of conspiracy against us? Not only in deed, but even in thought, that have conspired to destroy us on our jobs, in our homes, in our family ranks. They feel like you're better off if you were just not even here. Huh? How many, if God is saying to you today, I want you to truly, genuinely say a prayer. God, where am I going to get such prayer? Well, you're going to have to get that prayer from me, but it is a prayer to pray. How many of you are willing to pray that prayer for those that have sought out to utterly, not just stop you, they want to destroy you? When I look at Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, I want to look at it when it takes, in the architecture of man, what are my three? What makes me a tripartite man? My what? My body, my soul, and my what? And my spirit. These men are representation of coming to dismantle not only Job in his body, but they want to dismantle him in his soul. And they want to dismantle him in his spirit. They want just the way God put him together. What three parts did God use to put Job together? Spirit, soul, and body. And these men in this unofficial alliance represents people who will get together to destroy you, not only in your spirit, but in your soul and in your body. Is Job going through, you guys? Yes, he is. Who in this room is not going through? Huh? Who in this room haven't had a Job experience? No matter how young you are, you've had an experience where you stand in the middle of where you are. It could be on a biology test. And you can say, woe is me, it's over. It could be at a place where the game now is left on you, and they're 1 point down, and it's left with a field goal, and you're standing there with that good leg, with the ability to kick, and put it right down the middle, and you're standing there in that place on your jobs. I want to see. You have that moment where you feel like everything that you had is falling apart. I like what Job's wife said. Everybody else preach it down. I love her. Ask me why. Because Job cursed the day that he was born because of what he was going through and wished that he had never lived. A couple of days later, you know what Job's wife said? Stop running around here moping and looking sad. Just go ahead and just kill yourself and die. In other words, if you're that adamant about what you want to do, because what she's telling Job, she's shaking him and waking him. Somebody need to say something. Job, I love you, but you need to come up out of this. Huh? I admire that kind of relationship between a husband and wife, because that's her saying, I love you. And instead of you going through this, why don't you just go ahead and you just give it up, Job? Because you know what? If God's for you, who can be against you? Huh? You have to look at each other and say, you got this. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, you got this. Oh, come on, I mean it. I don't even know what you're going through, but guess what? Come on, I don't know what you're dealing with, but what? Why? Because God is with you. Now that you've said that, say it one more time. You got this. You can do this. Huh? I don't care if everyone in this room hates me with everything that they are. God loves me enough for y'all to go ahead and just burn it up. Hate me. Because God loves me just that much. There ain't enough hating me for me to be hated. Because God loves me above and beyond all of that. So when it comes to these ungodly alliances, these unofficial alliances, this little clicking together, getting together, destroying, huh? Rather, you better find the next time that you have something to say. Now, I know I'm a work in progress. There's no need of me saying, this is what we'll do. I don't really have nothing bad to say about nobody. Boy, it got quiet in here because we're all guilty. But what we want to do is we want to make it now a part of our life to have the positive things to say about others. Amen? In the end, it will happen to you the way that it happened to Job. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. He multiplied exponentially Job's graces and his goodness, and he gave him twice what he had based on what he lost. Are y'all hearing me? If you just humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, if you want to start seeing blessings coming your way, I'm talking about the blessings of God. Now, I ain't talking about some stuff you got to pay the bills for. I'm talking about the blessings of God. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And out of everything, can I go back to that one where I say people know you got something on the side, you know, something you can't do it with the money you got? They right. Absolutely. Huh? Absolutely. You're right. I do. And you know what? I don't deserve it. But I got a God who loves me and he's crazy about me. Hallelujah. And if you think people who love you giving you all this little stuff, these little material things, and you think they can do that and God gonna let be outdone by somebody who say, I love you, boo. God ain't gonna be outdone like that. Hallelujah. Come to your feet in this room.
I have enjoyed this today, and I pray that you have too. This one is important because it's all a part of our, you know, just becoming better and being empowered. Everything that we have about the architecture of man starts with self. It's placed within our conviction. The things that we see about ourselves is not the others around us that is hindering us and stopping us. It's our own selves. We're tripping over our own feet, people. All right? I have issues that I know I have to work out, and it has to do with humanities. It's because I want to say this in my closing, because I be crucified and God be glorified. Even when it comes to the people's ideologies about their sexuality, I have my judgment about what's of God and what's not of God and what's right and what's wrong. But I didn't make anybody to pass any judgment on anybody. If you got a moral compass, then what you do is you do that thing for yourself. Because if you be kept from anything that you see others do, only God is keeping you. Because if you get turned over to what you are, which is the flesh, you got some stuff in you that you wouldn't imagine would come out of you. So when you see it, rather than pass a judgment on it, remember that God loves them. Does that mean that you're embracing it, that you're making a part? No. It means that you know that my knowledge is limited. Amen. It's limited. And what you need to do, if you can't love somebody, then how about doing this? Nothing at all. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray today that these words and meditations, even from my heart, God, just be acceptable to you, and that be a blessing to these people. Let God, something that was said today be something that will be chattered as messages of improvement, thoughts of improvement, communication of improvement. Better ourselves, Lord, because that's what we want to do. We want our empowerment to be spiritual growth. And this we ask right now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now is the time that we take our offering, Eddie, if you get it. Now, giving is a part of our experience. This is only something that you so desire from your heart. It has nothing to do with you wanting God to paying God for something or feeling some obligation, but if you feel it in your heart to give, you do so. You can do it here traditionally in the basket, or you can do it digitally, as so many of you do. You see the ways up on the screen. You can text to give 256-291-0091. The second one, which is the website, that one is not available anymore. Of course, or of course, you can do it through the app. You're familiar with all of those. If you're online and you need some instructions to do so, I think Taffany and Tracy is there to instruct you on how to give. Be it here in person or through digital means, the outcome is the same. And that is, God blesses the cheerful giver. And I want you to know that for everything that you have given, ever contributed to this place, to this ministry over the years, we want you to know that it is never taken lightly, and it is always greatly appreciated. And most of all, it's you who we appreciate. Now, God, we ask you bless these gifts and the givers. Meet every need. Be the charge of everyone's economic situation, even in the midst of inflation, overtaxed and underpaid. We declare, God, that even the sparrows you take care of, and the hair on our head is numbered. You care for us. You take care of us. We're on the welfare of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you for the gifts. Look forward to seeing you all next Sunday. It's a wonderful thing to see someone, but man, it just really good when they come back again. Ty, Alana, it's good to see our friend again. Amen. Thank you for coming to share with us. Taffany have guests with her this morning. Thank you for coming and sharing. Good people you're with there. Oh. Well, look at there. That's Wesley's mom. Wonderful. You couldn't make it last time, but made it this time. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you so much. We love you and for just being a part of our family and being with us. We enjoy. Come and see us again. To everybody else, you be blessed and stay in the love of God.